If you were to turn Joshua chapter 7, that's the sixth book in your Bible, Joshua chapter 7. And the Lord gave me a message. You know, I really appreciate those of you who do pray for me and understand that this is a whole learning process for me. Being up here, I was not a person who was born to speak to people. And that's something the Lord has been working on and teaching me. And sometimes I can get nerved up and I can get worked up and I get stuttering and everything else. So just pray that Lord continue to give me wisdom and how He would have me say things and do things. And so we're going to be in Joshua chapter 7. And I'm going to read verse 1. And it says, But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabadi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. What hidden accursed thing do you have in your life sitting in these pews today? That's what God wants to show you. That's what God's been trying to hammer. The accursed thing that's hidden in your life. If you go back and you read Joshua chapter 6, verse 19, you will see where the hidden accursed thing from Achan was taken. He took that thing that was forbidden of the Lord. And there's nobody in these pews that I know of that hasn't heard in the past few weeks, at least anyway, who and what the gospel of Jesus Christ is, and you're without excuse. What is that hidden thing that you take and that you know God has said not to take? It's become an accursed thing. So we read that man didn't know what was happening. At this point, they had no clue. God found this out. God found this person out. Somebody didn't walk up to him and say, hey, you know, such and such took this. So not only that, but they also took that thing. You see, right here in verse 1, you see that God is the one who knows about this. Man has no clue about it yet. He has no clue. But God is trying to get them to see that there's a hidden, accursed thing in their life. And that's the problem that's going on today, is when God starts doing that in people's life, they shut it down. They cover it up with an excuse, or they cover it up with something else, or trying to say this, and the Lord gave me this when I was in Maine. And I believe firmly that when the King James Bible is being preached, and the Holy Ghost of God is moving through these pews, that it's not the devil making people doubt. That's the Holy Ghost making people doubt. If you go around telling people, hey, you know, the devil made you doubt that. I'm just going to say this right now. You need to tell me that the devil has more power than God? I think not. I beg to differ. When that King James Bible is being preached and the Holy Ghost is moving amongst these pews, I'm telling you, if you got doubts, it's from the Holy Ghost of God. It's not from the devil. Why? He's trying to point out what that hidden accursed thing is in your life. There's something missing. Okay? Nobody told God who stole what or what it was. In chapter 6, they were instructed on what to do, and they had a victory. By chapter 7, God is letting them know that somebody took and hid the accursed thing. God knows who it is, and He's about to reveal to them who and what it is. And how many of us are sitting amongst the pews today, saved or unsaved, who have a hidden accursed thing in your life? It's there. It's there. But let me say this.
Amen.
Let me say this. It's not the thing you already know.
Uh-oh.
It's something you don't know. The thing is, you won't let it know. You won't let God show you. You won't let God in there. You want to shut that thing down. You want to shut it off. You don't want God to show you what that thing is. And so today I want to use Joshua chapter 7. I'm teaching some things. You see here that God is trying to show the hidden accursed thing in the people's life. And God will reveal it. Mark chapter 4, verse 22 and 23, God says, "For there is nothing hid which shall not be made manifest, neither was anything that kept secret, but it shall come abroad. If any man have ears, let him hear." God is going to reveal that thing. Do you want to see it? I know there's people in here who for years I've watched you struggle with salvation and say, "I don't know why I can't get saved. There's a hidden thing and you don't want God to show you." I'm telling you why you won't get saved.
Uh-huh.
I sat there in that pew for 4 years knowing that I was lost. And God just had to show me one thing about myself, and that very thing I wouldn't see, that I was a rebel against the Holy God. It's the only thing I didn't see.
I can tell you everything. Oh, being a drug addict, an alcoholic, a convict, and I can tell you all the smoking and cussing and being an abuser. I can tell you all that stuff.
But you know what it wasn't? It wasn't any of that stuff. It was me being a rebel against the holy God, that hidden the curse thing that I had in my life that God had to show me and had to bring me to repentance with that thing.
Amen.
Guess what, Tanya? My life changed after God showed me that. I sat in that chair right there in those pews right where my wife and children are for 4 years fighting. Refusing to see it. Refusing to let God show me that thing. But you know what it says? He will bring it to light. You want to see it? It's not an easy thing to see. What happens when we have that hidden accursed thing in our life? That hidden accursed thing will give you a false sense of pride. And keep you from having victory in your life. Whether it's for a Christian life or whether it's for salvation. Having the hidden accursed thing in your life will give you a false sense of pride. You go down and read Joshua 7 verses 3 through 5 and it says, "And they returned to Joshua and said unto him," now remember, they just had a victory. So now they got this pride in their life. They don't realize there's something hidden amongst them. They don't realize there's something amongst that camp. And it says here, it says, "And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 go up and smite Ai. And make not all the people go out to labor thither, for they are but few." You see, that false sense of pride because they won a victory has removed God out of the plans. Now they've conjured something up. They said this, "Well, you know, we're just going to go take AI, but hey, we don't need everybody. We'll just take whatever we think." They don't realize at that point there's a hidden accursed thing in the camp. They don't see it. But God did. And so with that false sense of pride of having a little bit of victory in their life, I remember sitting in those pews and God showing me things and thinking, "That's it! I got it!" Yeah, for a few days later, just falling apart. Because it wasn't it. I got a victory, but you know what I thought after that? I didn't need to include God in that anymore. And that victory was short-lived. And you're going to see that it's very short-lived here because, as you can see here, that false sense of pride made them remove God out of their plans. Someone takes the accursed thing because of it, and now they're filled with pride, and they think they'll have victory without God, and there's sin amongst them. Because of their pride, they were blind to their own destruction. They couldn't see it, Pastor. They couldn't see what they were heading into. And you know what? God didn't want them to go there, but they did it in their own pride. They shut God out. They shut him up. He made a decision on his own. He didn't go to God for help. He just made that decision. "Hey, we'll just take few. We don't need that many. We got this." Verse 4 says, "So they went up there. They went up thither of the people, about 3,000 men. And they were fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote them about 36 men. For they chased them from before the gate of unto Sherebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted, and they became as water. In their pride they believed they could do this without God." How many times has that been our attitude when we think we can do things without God? You would be amazed if you could sit there and put a projector in people's heart and it can flash up here. How many people think they can do it without God? That's exactly what happened here. They got a little victory in their life. Now they're going to make a decision. "We don't need God. We'll just go out there and we'll do it on our own." There's sin amongst the camp. And they're too blind to see their own destruction. What do? They go marching in there. And few people destroy them. They chase them out. And out melts their heart. I don't mean to put anybody on the spot, but let me just say this, Tim Ashworth. How many times has your heart been melted at Youth Week? How many times you keep running to destruction, Sam? How many times are you not going to see that hidden accursed thing, John Mark? How many? What's it going to take, Stephen? What's it going to take for God to reveal it? It's not like he's not trying to. Peter? It's not like he's not trying to. But here's you guys. We don't need God. We can do it on our own. We're going to march the AI and we're going to beat them all. And get stomped. It's going to happen. Goes on, it says, Joshua 7, 10 through 11 says, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, get up. Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou upon thy face? Verse 11 says, Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I command them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and also have stolen and dissembled also, and they have put that very thing among their own stuff. This is where most sinners are today. They cannot see the hidden accursed thing in their life, and they're unaware of it. They want to be saved their way. They want to be saved their way with the hidden accursed thing in their life, and God will not compromise His righteousness. God's not going to compromise His righteousness. I sat there in that pew for 4 years, lost, knowing that I was dying and going to hell, and God would not compromise one bit to save me from those flames of hell. I could lay on my face, I'm a sinner, Lord. And in the same breath, I'd sit there and tell God, I don't have to go to church if I don't want to. You know what that was, Stephen? That was my false sense of pride making me say that. I don't need to pray. I'll go to church when I want to. Ain't somebody going to tell me what to do. I'll read my Bible when I feel like reading it. Oh, really? Mister, I'm being so diligent. Why isn't God saving me, Pastor? Oh, Pastor, why isn't He saving me? Because I had that hidden accursed thing of being a rebel against the Holy God amongst my camp and didn't realize it. And I'm trying to live a victorious life out there, and oh my goodness, I'm trying to go out there and live without God and wonder why God wouldn't save me. It goes on and it says, they'll remain lost until God opens their eyes to what's taking place. As for saved people, as for a saved person, we argue with God. God, I've been doing this my whole Christian life, and You've been okay with it. But you know what? There comes a time in a Christian's life where he stops being okay with what we're doing. And he wants to move that accursed thing. But here's the problem. We don't see it because God's been okay with it. We still try to convince Him that He's okay with it. He's not okay with it. But we try to convince God that He's okay with it. And then when troubles come amongst the camp, why am I going through this? Why is this happening? Why is that going on? Did you ever think that God's trying to move you out of one camp to the next and you won't? You won't let Him show you what it is? You won't let Him reveal that thing? Proverbs 20:27 says God's got a spirit in every one of us. And that spirit is a candle that lights the inward parts of the belly. He's trying to show you what it is. Here's what we do. Revelation chapter 18, I think it's verse 3. God says, I'm blowing that candle off. I'm done. That light, it says that candle's not going to shine anymore, Pastor. It's not going to shine anymore. He's done with it. You've become reprobate now. Now you're a reprobate that Romans 1 talks about. Hey, you know, there are people who push God too far. There are people who push God too far. And He shuts that switch off. There are people in this room who may do that. There are people sitting amongst these pews who are probably pushing God that far. Sad. It's a shame. It's a shame to have to see that, to have to understand, to have to watch it year after year after year after year. My goodness, how much more does God have to do to get to a person? The danger is this. When you start losing the love for the truth, that's the danger. When you start losing the love for the searching of the truth, when you start losing the love of the truth, there's the danger. God rewards those who diligently seek Him. Let me just say this. Your diligence and God's diligence is not the same as His. I got folders. My wife would tell you, I got folders upon folders upon folders of studies that I did, word studies that I did as a lost person. And I thought I was being diligent. The problem was, I was being a rebel against the Holy God. I wouldn't let Him show me that accursed thing, Tanya, in my camp. God has to open their eyes that He's no longer going to accept these things in their life. You know that, Pastor, did you know that God does that to our Christians? You know, people have a hard time accepting that God just won't accept things in their life anymore, that He wants to move them beyond where they are.
That's right.
Thank God He didn't leave us where we were, Amy. Thank God I'm not the same person I was a year ago, not even 6 months ago. What kind of God am I serving if He'll leave me the same person? Why do I want that? I wanted something different. I want my life to continue to change, Sam. Not just have, okay, I got saved, boom, there you go. Set you on a roller coaster and that's it, it's over. No. No, God continues. 2 Corinthians 5:17, you all know the verse. And in Christ is a new creature. Old things are. Talk of present tense. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's present tense. He just told me in the Bible here, Pastor, that he's going to take the old things out and put new things in.
Amen.
What happens if people get caught on a roller coaster where they're just cruising along that Christian life and nothing is changing in their life? Why is that? Because they won't see what God's trying to show them. What about that lost person? You know, he wants to make that person see it. He wants to make that person to be able to change. But you know what the problem is? They keep blowing that candle out. They don't want to see it. Here's what Jesus Christ says this. He'd rather you be hot or cold. Because if you're lukewarm, he's just going to spew you out of his mouth. That's what Christianity has become today. It's become so lukewarm that we can just blend in with the world with no separation. And we just won't see what God is trying to show us. We won't open our eyes to what he's trying to show us. We don't want to see the hidden and the cursed thing in our camp. It says this, many Christians are trying to take the things of this world, which are cursed things, and they're trying to fit them into their Christian life, and God will not have it. You cannot have the world and God too. If you want the world, he says you're an enemy of God. That's what it says, what the Bible says. I didn't say that.
Amen.
You're either a friend of the world or you're a friend of God. Which one is it? We can't have both. Well, how do I witness to people? Because you don't live like they live. You don't think they like they think. You don't have the same desires they do. I mean, my goodness, I don't have the same desires this world does. I escaped this world. I escaped damnation. I escaped the hellfire. I don't want to go back to it. Jesus Christ delivered me from those things in the world. Why am I trying to run back to it? Hey, let me just say this. Jesus, when God delivered Israel, what did they always want to do? They always wanted to run back to Egypt. So what do? We want to run back to Egypt all the time. I don't want to run back to Egypt. I'm tired of Egypt. Egypt hurt me. Egypt left me in the gutters. Egypt kept putting me in jails and prisons. Kept making me go to mental hospitals. Gave me addictions and everything else. That's what Egypt did to me. Why would I want to go back to that? Why would I want to get involved in the nonsense? I don't. I want to have no part of it. Oh, you're trying to be super separate? No, I'm just trying to live differently. And by doing that, I think God honors that. I believe God honors that because he says, come out from among them and be ye separate. What's he just saying that for the sakes? Is he saying it just for the fun of it? He's saying it because that's how he wants us to live. Be holy for I am holy. Oh boy. Baptists don't like that, Ronnie. Baptists don't like to hear you got to be holy for I am holy. So let me go out there and I'll start living partly like the world and partly like a Christian. You think Jesus Christ did that? How are we being holy like him then? How are we being holy? Hey, gotta come. This is where it comes to the point where he takes you from that one place and moves you to the next. Because you realize, I'm not living holy. I'm not living like God wants me to live. I'm not doing what he tells me to. And you know what? The first when we start realizing that, he starts moving. That's where 2 Corinthians 5:17 comes in. Be holy for I am holy. Oh, Lord, I've been making a mistake. Forgive me. I am sorry. Help me not to do that anymore. Help me not to go that way. You know, God, Jesus Christ is such a good God. He's such a merciful God that he knows Dale Morey and his family. And he has protection set up just for me, Amy, and my kids. That there's things out there we just can never do again. And it says the commandments of God are not grievous. Do you think me and my wife desire to go back there? No, we don't. We got hurt back there. We see pain back there. We see depression back there. We see anxiety back there. We see our lives in absolute turmoil. Why would we want to go back there?
Amen.
He's taken us from there and he's put us in a hedge of protection. He's put that protection around me and my family. And every day he's trying to get that accursed thing out of our life. He's trying to show us those things that are in there. Why? What's he trying to do? Leave me sitting there? No, he's trying to move me out. Could you imagine having a baby and it stayed an infant and that's all it ever did? Well, that's what Christianity looks like today. They get saved and they never grow. They just sit there. So where's that? That's where it's at. I go into pews, I see it. I go into churches, I see it. I witness it all the time. I see it over and over again. There's people who, I've been saved 45 years. My goodness, by the way you're talking, sounds like you got saved last week. There's growth. Is there not growth in Christianity, or am I a nutcase? I think there's growth in it.
Right, yes, sir.
I think there's something that should be happening, but here's what's not going to happen. If people don't wake up to what's in their life, if they don't see what is in their camp, if they don't see what that hidden thing is, if they don't open their eyes to it. The problem is so many people have gotten to the point where they think, I don't have a hidden accursed thing in my life. That's a lie.
Yep.
We all have it in our life. There's something somewhere that God is trying to show to every one of us. Somewhere. Joshua 7:13 says, Up, sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O people. Excuse me, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing. God will not move anymore in their lives until we are ready to see the accursed thing that is in our life. He is trying to show us. Is God trying to reveal to them here in Joshua chapter 7 the things they already know or see? Or is he trying to show them the hidden accursed thing in their life? He's trying to show them the hidden curse thing. He's not trying to show them something they already know. Everybody clings on to everything that God has already shown them. Let go of it. Leave it alone. You already know it. God's trying to move on to something you can't see and understand. He says this in the book of Psalms. He tries the heart and the reins.
That's right.
You know what the heart and the reins? First of all, he's going to do this. He's going to show you, Ronnie, what's in your heart. Well, what's the reins mean? He's going to show you why your heart does what it does.
That's right.
Why it thinks the way it thinks. Why when God tells you to go right, you go left. That's the reins. Why? What's steering your heart? What's making you do that thing? You see, God's a merciful God, but here's the problem. People don't want to see it. Go pray when it says, search me, O God. Oh, that's a lovely verse that says to somebody who's going through trouble. Why don't you pray that yourself? Examine me, O Lord, and see if there be any wicked way in me.
Come on.
How about it? When's the last time you prayed that to God? The problem is you don't want to see the hidden accursed thing that God has to show you. Go pray it. He'll do it. Be ready for it. Better prepare yourself for it. God will not move anymore in their lives until people are ready to see that accursed thing. He's trying to show us. It says here that God is trying to make them see what he already knows, but they're too blind by pride. God tells them that there will be no more victories until ye take away the hidden accursed thing from among you. If your life is in stall, first of all, you have to realize you're in stall mode.
Amen.
If you can't even recognize that your life is stall in this Christian walk, you're not even close to getting ready to get rid of those enemies.
Right.
You have to realize you're in stall mode. When you realize that you're in stall mode, and he says, now, you see this thing, and he brings it to you, get rid of it. You mean that, Lord? I mean that, Lord. You mean I can't do that anymore? I mean you can't do that anymore. Guess what? You'll start having victory in your life again. Guarantee it. Why? He says that. He's no longer going to move. He's going to stay right there. And he's going to keep pounding that thing. He's going to keep hammering on it. He's going to keep at it until he gets you to finally go, okay, I see it. I'm a firm believer. Me and my wife talk about this often. I'm a firm believer that God will show me something. Then he's going to bring me to a point of absolute hatred for that thing.
Amen.
But you know what happens? It takes a long time for me to get there.
That's right.
Because I don't want to see it. But then he brings me to that place, Nick, where I absolutely hate the thing. You know why he does that? So I won't let you go back to it.
Amen.
That's how God finally started getting Israel to stop wanting to go back to Egypt. He had to bring them to a place where they hated it. John Mark, you know what most of the problem is? People don't ever come to the place where they hate it. They're okay right where they're at. They're okay with it.
Yeah. Amen.
If you're okay where your life is, I feel sorry for you. I'm sorry because there's much more. Jesus Christ promised it. He promised a more abundant life. If he couldn't give me a more abundant life, Tim, then what am I doing here? What more is he going to offer me
than the drugs, the alcohol, the world?
What more? What's going to be more appealing? It's cute. That's a little that's a preacher right there. You better watch it. He's going to be the next preacher of Black Creek. It says, until we take the accursed thing from among you, a light is used to show in darkness. 2 Corinthians 4, chapters 3 through 6 says, but if the gospel be hid, it is hidden to them that are lost. But if the gospel be hid, it is hidden to them that are lost. And it says, in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which trust not.
Gotcha. I'm just kidding. It says, believe not. Okay? Believe not.
Everybody else will tell you trust. Believe me. I'm telling you. Hey, I'm going to quote a verse from him, and they'll put trust in that. I go, my goodness, that's your King James Bible. What version is that of the King James Bible? Because it ain't the one I have. Ain't the one I have. You know what had to happen? God had to work a miracle in me and give me the belief.
To be able to believe in him.
Of course I believe God. Oh, yeah, of course I believe God. Yeah, God! Sickening. God's puking over that. It's gross. That hidden accursed thing that's in our life is a grossness to God. He's puking over it. He don't like it. But you know what? He's going to strive and strive until you get it out of your life. He doesn't want it there. It says that the God of this world has blinded the mind of them which believe not, lest. Here's the hope for you lost people in here. Lest the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ should shine upon them. Lest the glorious gospel, the light of Jesus Christ, should shine upon them. But let me just say this. That light can't shine with that thing hidden in your life.
Yeah.
Why? Because the God of this world, the God is too blinded. If I had my eyes like this and somebody said, hey man, in order for you to see, you have to uncover your eyes. Oh, well, you know, that's what people are doing with those things in their life. They just refuse to take their hands off so they can see. Now, most people who are lost are living in darkness. God says, hey, there's a light I can shine on you if you'll allow it. Guess what they're not doing? They choose to live in darkness. Why? Because their deeds are evil. They don't like the light. They don't like the light. Let's go on here. It says this. It says, verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants. And I like that word servant because I'm doing a study in the book of Romans. And I'm going word by word, phrase by phrase. I did the word Paul already. It's in your Bible 159 times. 129 times it's in the book of Acts, starting in Acts chapter 13. And it goes right on through to Acts chapter 27. It basically gives you the whole outline of his life. From before he got saved, right before he got saved, all the way to the end of his ministry, okay? And that's what his name does. You follow his name, you'll follow his ministry. So it's a pretty cool study that I've done. And then I'm on the word servant. Servant's the very next word in there. Servant is in your Bible 925 times, okay? Out of those 925 times, it almost all means the same thing. That we're all obedient to one master. We're supposed to be, the servant will listen to what his master has to say and not question him. Wait, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ, I just said, but yet I question what he's telling me in his word. I question what the preacher's preaching. I question what the evangelist is. Oh, really? So really, you'd be disqualified as a servant. In the Old Testament, you were chosen as a servant. They picked you out. You didn't have a choice. That changes in the New Testament. In the New Testament, because of Jesus Christ, we have a choice whether to be his servant or not. It's very interesting. Jesus Christ calls us a servant here. A servant is to be obedient to one master. He was faithful to one master even unto death. And he never, never questioned what the master told him to do. He just went and did it. That's not Christianity today. But yet you'll hear people say, I'm a servant of Jesus. Yeah, okay. Nice try. Go search out what servant means in your Bible and you're going to get a whole different outlook. What it means to be a servant. It's not what you think it is. It's not what you think it is. Okay? Here it says that Jesus Christ by the Lord, ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who commanded the light to shine in darkness had shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. John 1:9 says, that he was the true light, which shineth every man that cometh into the world. How about that? Jesus Christ shines his light on every man, every person that ever comes into the world. There's that spirit put inside of you that Proverbs 20:27 talks about. 40 years. You know what I did, Ronnie? For 40 years, I blew that candle out. I didn't want to see it. 40 years. And then I got myself into a boy's home, and I had a couple. They were called house parents in the boy's home in Buffalo. And they brought me to some, I think it was a Wesleyan church or something. You know, I got saved that night. They had me run. I said the sinner's prayer night. I got saved. And then I went out and lived, another 20 some odd years of hell. I got saved that night. I can't handle when people say that. Because I can't even imagine a holy God who tells me to live holy and let me do that. I can't imagine him not bringing me to a place of repentance as his child. Striving with me to get me to come back to where I belong. Or, if you live by the flesh, you shall die. Or him taking me right out. Okay? All that nonsense, that's nonsense. And I will tell it to anybody. I don't have a problem telling anybody that. I do not believe that a person gets saved and then goes out and lives like hell for 40 years and God just leaves you there. I'm sorry, I don't believe that. I have a hard time believing that. Why do you say that? Because my Bible tells me otherwise.
That's right.
I'm going to agree with my Bible over what any man says. I'm sorry, that's how I am. Now, men can teach. I'm teachable. You can teach me things. Go ahead and teach me all you want. I'm fine with that. But I need to have it in here. I need to have it proved out of here. This has got to come from here. Or I'm just not going to believe it. I'm sorry. I know it gets twisted and turned around and people are out there teaching things that they shouldn't. And it doesn't line up with the Bible. Then I'm not going to believe it. But you should believe him. Look, he's Dr. So-and-so. I don't care what he has in front of his name. I have Jesus. I have God right here who's telling me otherwise. We are to rather to be obedient to God than man. That's what the Bible says in the book of Acts. Shouldn't we be obedient to God rather than man? Yes, we should be. Now, God has given us a pastor. He's given us a shepherd. He's given us two of them, Pastor Hain and Pastor John Asquith. Am I telling you not to listen to them? Oh, God forbid. I would never say anything like that. That's stupid. But I'm telling you to get in your Bible and learn of yourself. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Don't sit there and be lazy and wait for somebody else to teach you. And there are people in here who have shared what they have learned, and it's been amazing. Well, God has sat down and told you and taught you. No man showed you those things. There is judgment. Proverbs. Yeah. So where's God shining the light in your life? Where is he? What is he trying to expose? What darkness is in your life that you won't let God in there? There's a judgment for those who hold on to that hidden, accursed thing. For the unsaved, it's eternity in hell. Joshua 7:15 says, "And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire." There's your judgment. You're going to hell. You want to hold on to that thing? Great, hold on to it. Okay? And when you're burning with it, you're going to say, "Gosh, I wish I would have gave that up." And it says you're going to be burnt with fire and all that he hath. Because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord. And because he hath wrought folly in Israel. For the Christian is going to be both a spiritual or physical death. Romans 8:13 says, "For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." You know what he just said there? You need to get that hidden, accursed thing out of your life, Christian. Yes. Christian, you need to mortify that thing. Get it out of there. Live by what God says. Don't live by what you think. Here's where people don't live anymore. It's a scary verse. Hebrews 9:27, it says, "And it is appointed unto man to die, once to die, after this the judgment." There is a judgment. I look at the news quite often. And I see 8, 10, 12, 20, 30, 40, 80, 90-year-olds dying. You think they planned that day? And you're willing to play Russian roulette with your soul? You are crazy. You know how you're not living? You're living with no fear of God. You know how I know that? Because you go out there and live your life any way you want. You're going to die and there's a judgment. Where are you going to stand in that judgment? What light is God going to show you then? And you're going to go, "Oh my goodness, I missed that." He's going to say, "Well, it's too late. Hey, come down here and bound him. Bond her. Get him hand and foot, and I want you to cast him in there. You're not going to voluntarily jump in there. And before you go, you're going to bow down to Jesus Christ. It don't have to be that. It don't have to be that late. It don't have to be that late where you're going to stand there before judgment of God. You can have that now. You can let Him show you that. Let that light shine. My goodness, people were diligent for a week or two and think they did something. You must not want salvation that bad to give up on it that easy. How bad do you really want it? How bad? You want it so bad that the very next day you go to work, it's already starting to leave you. As soon as you walk out of this, as soon as you walk out of the church, it's already starting to go away. How do you know that, Dale? Because I did it. And then my wife did it for longer than me. She did it for another half a year after I did. And it came to that point where he says, those who diligently seek Him, that's who the reward goes to. But you can't be diligent in seeking God with that hidden accursed thing. You know what? Most people in this room that I know that are lost, you've come near salvation. But God's not happy with that. He wants you to come nigh. The problem with you becoming nigh is there's something in between you and God. So as far as close as you get is near. That word nigh means there's nothing in between you and God. You can get as close to Him, He can get as close to you. At that point, you'll be saved. But you'll never get saved being near God. You'll never get saved being near conviction. You'll never get saved being near what you've been going through the last few years. You'll get saved when you draw nigh unto God and you're diligent in doing so. What's that hidden accursed thing in your life? And it says this, and people know of the judgment and they continue to hold on to that thing. Romans 1:32 says, who knowing? Somebody raise your hand in here and tell me you don't understand. If you died right now and you don't have Jesus Christ, do you not understand what's going to happen? Raise your hand if you don't understand what's going to happen, and I'll be happy to tell you what's going to happen if you die without Jesus. Do you not know there's a judgment? Is there anybody in here who doesn't know that there's going to be a judgment? Good, then I'm going to read you a verse, okay? I'm going to read you a verse here in Romans 1:32, who says, who knowing the judgment of God, you all just said you know it, who knowing the judgment of God, that they commit such things are worthy of death, not only do them, but have pleasure in them that do them. What do you have to answer for that? What do you have to say? What are you going to say when you're standing there before a holy God? What are you going to say to Him? I just read you a verse that condemned you to hell. You're going to go back out those doors and you're going to do the same thing and you're going to have pleasure in them. Knowing you're going to face the judgment of God. I wouldn't leave the church. I wouldn't get off my knees. I wouldn't stay out of my Bible until I had that right. I'd be too afraid. Thing is, there is no fear of God anymore. There is no fear of God. You don't fear God. When's the last time you feared God? When's the last time you said, you know what? Man, maybe God is trying to reach me. Maybe I ought to take this thing serious. There ain't no fear of God in America. The book of Romans says this. It says they don't let them retain God in their knowledge. What do you think that is, Ronnie? Because if you thought more of God, you'd do less of what you're doing. If you thought more of God, you'd be searching more diligent than you are. The problem is you don't. You don't like to retain God in your knowledge because you like to go out there and live any way you want to live. So let's just keep God as far out of our head as we can. Because by doing that, we can go out there and live any old way we want. There is a judgment for that. God forbid that you have to face it without the saving blood of Jesus Christ. It's a serious matter. He said, boy, you're just taking that real far, Dale. Good. Because God's trying to take it a whole lot farther. Only I'm not God. Joshua 7, verse 16 through 26, the next 10 verses talks about this thing being revealed to the man of God. And then that man of God who stands up there and preaches the word, and you know what that does? It brings godly sorrow. 2 Corinthians 7, 9 through 10 says, now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrow to repentance. You see, when there's a godly sorrow, you sorrow to repentance. Here's where everybody's caught in. Everybody feels bad for what they've done here on earth. Everybody has that worldly sorrow. And that worldly sorrow says, worketh death. Oh, I feel bad because, oh, I shouldn't have said that to so-and-so. Or I feel so bad because I got hooked on the drugs. That does not deliver a single person. I felt so bad because all the people that I robbed. I felt bad because I'd done this. That's worldly sorrow. That worldly sorrow is going to work death. What's that death mean? That means a separation from you and God. You know what godly sorrow does? It makes you to a place of repentance.
Amen.
When you turn from your way to God's way. How do you know that if you're suffering from godly sorrow or worldly sorrow? Worldly sorrow has you thinking of the things on earth. Godly sorrow has you thinking what you did against the holy God. That's the difference. It's real easy. I deal with a lot of people who are drug addicts and alcoholics and so on and so forth. It's real easy for them to come up to me with a broken heart and a broken spirit. But you know what they don't have? A contrite heart. They're not sorry for what they did against the holy God. Oh, please, I want to change. Please, I want what you. I want to get saved. Can I please have that? I just went out and I shot drugs again and I went out and stole something. That's worldly sorrow. They're not sorry for what they've really done. They're not sorry for who they really are. They want a temporary relief. Oh yeah, man. Hey, let me help you out. Let's just get you through this, okay? And so temporarily we go out there and help them. To do what? For them to return to go back and do the same thing again? They have no clue what godly sorrow is because they shut it off. You come to godly sorrow ever one time in your life and it will change you forever in eternity. I'm so sorry for what I've done to my parents. I'm sorry for what I've done. That's not what God's worried about. I couldn't get saved being sorry for what people done to me. I couldn't get saved for being sorry for what I've done to others. I had to come to a place of contrition, a deep sorrow for what I did against the holy God. That's when I got saved. And guess what? In that salvation, my past was healed. It brought repentance. I've turned from Dale Morey's way to God's way. And he goes on and says, and I'm going to close with this, and he says this, and who has this accursed thing that is hidden is revealed. God reveals that it's a thing of this world that is accursed. And it's a thing of the unsaved people. Verse 21, Joshua 7:21 says, when I saw among the spoils of the godly, goodly Babylonian garment and 2 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold, 50 shekels weight, when I coveted them and I took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it. Covetousness got the best of Achan's heart. He wanted the thing so bad that he ignored the very words of God to get it. And he knew it was wrong. How did he know it was wrong? Because he hid it from the people. He hid it. He hid it. My friends, let me say this. You may be sitting in these pews and you can hide whatever you think you're hiding from us. You got that. But there's one you are not hiding it from. And that's a holy God. And at one point, someday, hopefully while you're still alive, he is going to reveal that. He is going to reveal it, whether for unto salvation or unto judgment. That's your choice. I'm going to read this last verse, Mark 7, 20 through 23. And he said this, that which cometh out of a man, that defileth the man. Verse 21, from within. Out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit. Those are the things that cause that person to steal the accursed things. What was it? Thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. And all these evil things come from within and defile man. Hey, do you know what he just said there? That's not even an action that they're taking physically. That's in their heart. Yeah. That's in their heart. You go, I've never murdered nobody. Oh, you have. Oh, yes, you have. I've never stole nothing. Oh, yes, you have in your heart. Oh, you're just as guilty. You break the law at one point, you're guilty of them all, murderer. You're a liar and a thief. That's what it says. Having an evil eye means the whole body is full of darkness. That's what he just said. You have an evil eye and it's full of darkness. And it goes on and it says, and we will do the things that we should not. Why? Because there's a hidden, accursed thing in us. It's that hidden thing, that accursed thing that gives us the evil eye. It gives us the covetousness. It gives us all the foolishness and the thieveries and the deceit. What is that hidden, accursed thing that's in your heart? What is in your life that God is trying to strive? What is He trying to show that you just don't want to see? Open your eyes. Oh, better yet, let Him circumcise your ears so that you can hear. Pass it on down.
Well, just go ahead and dismiss this church right from where you're at.
Father, we